All right, everybody, welcome to the CCHA show. Ready for another week of action here. And we finished up the last real combination non-conference conference weekend for a little while, at least. Down to some conference weekends coming up here. And joining me to talk about the weekend that was and the upcoming schedule here, Matt Pocket from Lake Superior State, formerly broadcast voice, but now in the sports information department. Matt, thanks for coming on.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Perry, the new director of athletic communications. I have I've traded my microphone for a suit. I don't wear a suit, but yeah, much like you, I've gone the executive route.
Administrative route, absolutely. And also Ryan Stieg, who covers St. Thomas for his website, thetripledeek.com. And Ryan, I missed you at the game on Friday, but. I know you're all over the Tommies and in their new building here this year.
Yeah, I was doing some Halloween stuff. I was handing out candy to trick or treaters and took some kids trick or treating too. So
that's way more better use of your time than
watching your college hockey game.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. All right, well, let's get to the games from last weekend. There were 12 of them. Not necessarily six series, as we'll get to that with Michigan Tech and Lake Superior State heading east to trade opponents as if they were ECAC hockey clubs. We'll start with those games. In fact, Michigan Tech, they lost to Clarkson 6-4. They were up in that game, but the Golden Knights came storming back as they did the previous Friday against a very good North Dakota team. Clarkson and then Lake Superior State tying St. Lawrence, coming back from 3-1 down in the final minutes, minute and a half there with an extra skater to tie 3-3. And then on Saturday, it was Michigan Tech getting the better of St. Lawrence 3-0. And the Lakers all over Clarkson 6-2. Matt, second real positive weekend of the year for the Lakers so far here. To do it on the road, pretty impressive. Certainly more impressive, I think, than the Stonehill series. But what do you think were the biggest takeaways for the Lakers this weekend?
Well, number one, the clawback against St. Lawrence was massive. I mean, this is a team that gives up a goal with about 2.5 minutes to go in the game. It's not a lot of time left, and they go down 3-1. So you're looking at that just like, all right, nice try, boys. Have a good one. We'll catch you next time. I mean, most teams are done and they know it at that point. And this team isn't. In the last 2 minutes of the contest, they wind up scraping a couple of goals together, one through Connor Milburn, one through William Ulrich. And it's this kind of never say die attitude. They don't know when they're beaten, right? That kind of thing. And it winds up being a huge comeback against St. Lawrence to knock that game up at 3 late. Again, in a situation where most teams are done. I mean, you're riding out the clock at that point. How many teams just skate that out? And you can't really blame them either at that point in the contest. But this team just dug in and kept battling. And then the next night they come out and they crush Clarkson. That's a really good Golden Knights team. They've already knocked off North Dakota, who was 8th in the country at that time. Beat the brakes off North Dakota one night and then lost the next night in a 1-0 shutout, which, I mean, tremendous results at home. Tremendous results for the Golden Knights in that game. They've also knocked off Penn State, who was top 5 in the country at that time. So, you can look at the record and go, yeah, they're below 500, but look at the wins that they have. I mean, that's quite the trophy rack right there. So the Lakers go in there and beat the brakes off of them. Just right away, Hunter Ramos gets a goal, fast, really attacking-minded player, and then they just stayed on him. Damon Wenton's talked about the inconsistencies so far. This was a pretty consistent performance. They played well for all 60 minutes, played well, I think, in all three phases of the ice, and really put this thing away. Defensively, very good, and offensively, keeping up intense pressure.
Ryan, what do you think of these two series? I know Matt touched on the Lake Superior State side of things, but Lakers get the tie and the win. Huskies a split going out there. Not the worst result. Obviously, you know, with aspirations of trying to maybe break into the top 20, weren't able to do so. Maybe if they sweep, they get closer to that being Michigan Tech with some of their early season victories. But they do give up the 6 goals on Friday. A little bit of a letdown maybe there, but they do bounce right back with the shutout win on Saturday.
Texas Tech has been a bit of a surprise, I think, this year for a lot of people. I think I had them in the top 4. I thought they'd get home ice this year, but, you know, they've kind of emerged. They're like one of the top teams to start the first half of the season. I thought they'd split going into the weekend because you're going off on the road. It's hard to gauge. I'm not as familiar with the ECAC teams as some of the other leagues, but they had a lead against Clarkson, kind of fell apart as the later periods went on, but then they got a nice bounce back the next night. So I think Tech is going to be a force this year. I think they're underrated. Had they beat Clarkson, I think they definitely would have been ranked. They're a fun team. The awards that they got this week are, you know, well-deserved. And then you flip to Lake State. You know, I thought they'd split there too. I thought they would end up beating St. Lawrence and lose to Clarkson, and it ended up being a tie and a tie, and they ended up beating Clarkson. So they performed a little better than I thought they would. Lake State is kind of one of those teams that I'm still trying to figure out. It's October, so teams, I don't like to ever make conclusions about teams in October because I've seen so many things go right in the second half and so many things go wrong. So, but the Lakers, I'm still trying to gauge where they're at, but it was a good weekend overall for them.
Well, we're into November now, Ryan, so you can flip that calendar over. But about the results so far have been right through October. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. The other non-conference action from the weekend was Ferris State. They dropped a pair of one-goal games to Lindenwood, 1-0 on Friday, then 3-2 Lions on Saturday. So tough series for Ferris there, Ryan. But that's a pretty decent Lindenwood team. That obviously they've had some decent success early on. I know they're 5-5 now, but they have, you know, they've stayed with teams and they have some decent wins on their record so far.
Yeah, Lindenwood, I was wondering how they'd fare, you know, when they lost their coach to Michigan Tech. You know, Bill went up to Houghton this season. So you wonder with the coaching change how they're going to, you know, fare going into the year. And they've had a decent start. I thought Ferris would sweep the weekend. I knew it was two tight games. So it's probably a little bit of a letdown for them because, you know, they were hoping to get some, you know, help them on a national scale. But they played well in both games, just came up on the shorter end. So I think Ferris is – they're probably not playing at the level that they want to be, but I think they're still a pretty solid program. You know, they're – I figured they'd be better this year and just, you know, weren't able to get wins over the weekend, but they also played pretty solid too.
Yeah, Lindenwood, a couple of losses against Wisconsin. The Badgers kind of avenging a loss to – Lindenwood last year. Then, of course, they went up and swept the Lakers. Matt was up there for that. But then they split with Denver, who was number 5 at the time, including a 4-3 win. And then they lost 2 overtime games to Miami, who was one of the surprises of the year. I think they lost – Miami just lost for the first time last weekend. Mm-hmm. So this is a Lindenwood team that you really can't take lightly. And I think that's true for most of the independents now. There aren't really any pushovers. Even the Stonehill team that Lake Superior State saw to open the season is not the same one that we saw when they just first, you know, joined Division I. So there are no easy victories. That's probably more true than ever here in college hockey. Matt, what do you think about the Ferris State Lindenwood romp there?
Well, I think it goes to show something that I've been saying for several years now. If you haven't been watching college hockey, what's wrong with you? Like, seriously, do you have a problem? Because this sport is nuts. I mean, you get these bona fide monsters that are top 5, top 10, losing to teams that nobody in their right mind is picking to beat them. And it happens all the time. And yet those monster teams still end up being monsters because they have to work through and they have to learn and adapt and grow and push through these results. So, and in some ways going through that, you know, I don't love the saying that, you know, sometimes you have a good loss or whatever, but sometimes that is what your team needs, right? That you get punched in the mouth and you find out what you're made of. You know, are we really championship material here? So, you know, if you haven't been watching, get on board, because this wagon has been quite the ride over the years. Yeah, Miami takes them out with a pair of overtime victories, 5-4. And that's after they wound up splitting with Denver. Then they come back and they beat Ferris State. You're right, Ryan, you know, probably not what they're hoping for at this point, but it is a team that's going to be in some transition at this point, right? You know, you move on from one of college hockey's longest tenured coaches. Things are going to take a little bit of time, right? I mean, it's all, you know, it's all going to be a brave new world going forward from here for Ferris State. And, you know, will they put it together? You know, time will tell, but I don't think it's a surprise necessarily that they're struggling early in the season. You know, the question is, you know, okay, now what? You know, how do you again learn and grow from this over time? You know, there's always that weird transition when you move on from, you know, a legend or somebody who has led their program for a very long time. You know, Notre Dame with Jeff Jackson going through it too, right? You know, the longtime Lakers coach who won a couple of national championships back in the 90s. Even the Lakers themselves when Jeff Jackson left to form the USNTDP program, right? I mean, you've got some questions and some growing pains because things are different now. So I think Ferris is running into that, but, you know, can they learn and grow? I think they've certainly got the capacity for it.
Yeah, Bulldogs now 1-7 on the year, but that one win was on the road against number one Western Michigan.
Not bad.
To the conference action from last weekend, starting things off with a home and home between St. Thomas and Minnesota State. I was there on Friday, and then was not there on Saturday in Mankato, but both teams, as I think they've done previously in this matchup, winning on the road. For whatever reason, that's happened a couple times now. Mavericks get a 3-1 come from behind win on Friday night, and then the Tommies, a real back and forth game on Saturday that they end up winning in overtime, as that was Nathan Pilling getting the OT winner 4-3 for the Tommies. So they get 2 points there. That's really what you expect, you know, one goal games down to the end. It was an empty netter on Friday that made it 3-1. So Ryan, as a team you cover often here, what did you take away from this this split, for better or worse here?
Well, what I take away from it is I'm glad they got a win going into the bye. You know, the Tommies are off this week, so I'm glad that they got, you know, a positive to go into it. You know, you don't want to go into an off week without some to show for it. And getting that overtime victory was really important, I think, for a morale reason and to just some extra motivation. They, you know, that you can make a case that they should have won both their games against Providence to open the new arena. They played just a rough third period both nights and kind of blew a significant lead and could have had two wins there. And then they had a lead Friday night against Mankato, and then Mankato rallied before they were able to get the OT win Saturday. So Tommies are a little bit of a mystery right now. It's like they are showing their offensive capabilities, that, you know, Nathan Pilling's having a great start to his season. Lucas Wallen is doing Lucas Wallen things, basically. So it's like they're playing well. It's just they are trying to have to figure out the third period to kind of close out victories. I think that's their thing right now. But again, as Perry pointed out, it's now November. There's still a long ways to go, so we'll see.
Just want to get to remind you, yeah.
Yeah.
Matt, the Tommies and Mavericks seem to be, you know, a budding rivalry. I know the Tommies are leaving the conference, but I know they'll still be continuing to play just based on their geographic proximity going forward, and I know the coaches have mentioned that as well. But this is a Mavericks team that's got a lot of turnover up front. We've kind of talked about it early on in the season. Still have Evan Murr. You still have, you know, Tracy and goal, and a lot of the decourse, you know, still there. Wheeler, the captain. So it's still lot of what the Mavericks have had in years past might be a little bit tougher to come by. They do move up to 16 in the polls, though, with the split here and a solid month, you could say, for Minnesota State.
You know what's interesting? The Lakers actually just played against Keenan Ransier, who was kind of the heir apparent to Dryden McKay at Minnesota State after he won the Hobie Baker. And Alex Tracy really just wrestled that gig away. Ransier ends up at Vermont last year, and now he's at Clarkson. So, you know, Tracy's one of the top goaltenders in the country. And, you know, Minnesota State's one of these teams that, you know, I think ever since Mike Hastings left for Wisconsin, I think people have been, I don't know, almost waiting for them to just fall off a cliff or something like that. And it's like, yeah, I really haven't bought that, right? I mean, the king, you have to come take the crown from the king. And that's been Minnesota State over the last, you know, what, 7, 8, 9, 10 years. I mean, you know, it's, you know, to borrow a line from The Wire, right? You know, you come at the king, you best not miss. Nobody's really managed to unseat them at this point. So, you know, can St. Thomas be that team? Can somebody else do it? You know, they have a blip here and there, but that's really been about it. You know, St. Thomas does look like they're still kind of figuring things out. And remember, it wasn't all that long ago that this was a Division III program. So, you know, they've really rocketed up the college hockey ranks. But they still are a young program that I think is adjusting in some ways, you know, especially with this war chest that they have. And they're building this brand new arena, have built this brand new arena, Lee and Penny Anderson Arena, which I'm not happy that I don't get to go there this season.
You can still go.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I could. Yeah.
Nothing says you can't. Yeah.
It'll be tough, but
yeah.
You know, but I think with St. Thomas, you know, there's still some learning going on. And with Minnesota State, I think you walk through those doors and there's that feeling of, you know, we are still ruling the roost until further notice. So, you know, you have to get them, and nobody's quite been able to do that with any consistency at this point. You know, a moment here and there, and then they pick themselves up and they're right back. So, you know, I still think Minnesota State is cream of the crop until further notice. The king until dethroned.
Ryan, what do you... we asked you about this. I'm sorry, Ryan. I got you first. I'm sorry.
You've heard enough about me. You can go away. That's kind of
we've heard enough of Ryan talking about St. Thomas. Yes, they are on bye, so that was his last chance to do any to say something. We'll talk more St. Thomas after another win later in the year. I promise. Let's get to Northern and Augustana. Matt, the Vikings, you know, Northern giving teams trouble. That's not where they want to be by the end of things here, but certainly not an easy sweep for Augustana, but you'll take it. 2-1 on Friday, 3-1 on Saturday. Josh Kotai was spectacular in goal, and they got goals from a bunch of different guys there. Augustana did to get the 6 points, and a big bounce back for them, right? Coming off of just the 1 point at Bemidji State, a little bit of a downer, because it's the team that, again, was top two in points percentage last year, right? They were second place in the league. Now they're playing a full schedule, getting the full bite at the apple. But Matt, what do you see from this series here? Now Northern dropping to 0-10 now the season.
Well, we talk about transitions, and you know they had a difficult one a year ago. You know, not only do they lose their coach, they lose basically their entire roster. I think it was there was a line chart that had been posted for their last game of the prior year against Minnesota State in the postseason. And I think it was one guy who had played in that game was still on their roster. And now he's gone too. He transferred out. So, yeah, I mean, it's a tall order at Northern Michigan right now. You know, I don't think that's any surprise to say, right? But, you know, yeah, you know, you're competitive. And, you know, when you're a team that's down in the standings, you know, you like playing some scrappy games here and there. But you're right, Perry. You know, that's not really why you bought the ticket to go to the dance, right? You're not sitting there, you know, just going, you know, well, I'm happy to sit here and, you know, sip some punch. I want to be the center of attention with the spotlight on me. And, you know, right now that's just not where they're at. And, you know, there's going to be a lot of growing pains with this team. You know, as they, you know, again, you turn over that whole roster, you know, a year ago, they're basically an expansion squad, right? And, you know, a lot of turnover again this year. So you're going to have a lot of those issues coming into this season. You know, you'll kind of take what you can and try to grab onto that and use it to propel yourself forward. But everybody else in the league is doing that too every single night. And, you know, so that's going to be a tall ask for them at this point. Meanwhile, Augustana, I mean, you know, they've really liked life in Division I college hockey so far, haven't they? I mean, it's been quite the run. They come in with, you know, again, like St. Thomas, right? You come in with a pile of funding and, you know, a nice new arena. I've actually been to Midco Arena.
There you go.
Nice place. You know, really enjoyed getting the chance to work there for a couple of games. Didn't enjoy the games as much, you know, given the results. But, you know, they're a program that has built very quickly into being a very competitive squad. Now, again, right, when you're talking about taking that next step, can we go be a championship caliber team? That's another conversation there. You know, being a good team is one thing. Being a great team, a title team, that's different. So, you know, I think they're one of those teams that's in the mix, much like St. Thomas, much like Bemidji. But, you know, again, you know, Minnesota State has ruled the roost for a long time. Can they break into that?
Ryan, you used to cover Northern for a while. Obviously, it's a completely different team from when you were up there. But this group, you know, they've been competitive this year as they were last year, but not the results they want, obviously. As I mentioned, they're 0-10, now 0-2 in the league after this weekend against Augustana. The Vikings 2-2 in conference play. They're 5-3 overall. Like Matt said, they've been consistently a good team since joining college hockey and, you know, as a whole a couple years ago.
Well, Northern, as Matt was talking about, is in an interesting situation. You know, when Grant Bitomi left, you know, a bunch of guys went straight to the transfer portal. You know, they had Hampton Slukinski, who is, you know, the top goalie prospect coming in, and he was going to go to Northern and then, of course, went to Western, and his brother Grant then followed suit. So then you have those two guys are gone. And then it was, you know, Dave Shattuck had to kind of make a team out of something last year, and they did the best they could. They got an upset over Minnesota State. They swept Bemidji. So it wasn't like a complete loss of a season, but it wasn't what they were obviously hoping for this year. I think what people have also overlooked is Northern had a brutal October. Like, they had to go to UMass, they had to go to Ohio State, they had to go play CC at home, they had Michigan State at home, and then they had to go to Augustana. So it was not an easy slate to start the year. You know, a lot of teams have like a mix of like tough opponents and kind of, you know, just throwing a couple exhibition games in there, that kind of thing. And Northern didn't go that route. It was all difficult stuff. So I thought they'd get a couple wins in there. I thought maybe they'd get one against CC and came close against Colorado College. I thought maybe they'd get one against Augie last weekend, and they didn't happen. So yeah, they're 0-10, but it's not like they're a bad 0-10. They've played really well in games. They have two good goaltenders, so it's going to happen. I mean, it hasn't happened yet, but they'll get their first win. Could happen as soon as this weekend when they play Michigan Tech. So,
guys, I'll make the point too that, you know, you sit there and you book any team in the country with a schedule like that, and, you know, the prediction is pain, right? I mean, you're not going to come out of that with a good record, right? I mean, you're going in there against several tournament or likely tournament teams or tournament bubble teams every single game, and you're trying to break yourself in for a new season, and you're adjusting to a lot of roster transition. I mean, you know, never mind all that. I mean, any one of these teams playing that same schedule is going to be feeling pretty good if they're over 500 at the end of it. I mean, that's the truth, right? You're in wars every single night.
Passion, talent, development. NCAA hockey offers all that, and its players graduate at a 93% rate. Trevor Zegras.
And they score on the lacrosse move.
Jake Gensel.
Gensel banks it towards the goal. He scores.
Kale McCarr.
He scores.
Stars on campus before the NHL stage. Whether you're a fan or a player, nothing compares to college hockey.
My goodness gracious me.
Visit collegehockeyinc.com and follow at College Hockey.
All right, joining me now on the CCHA show, Alex Gaffney, or as he's written here, Alexandros Gaffney. And before we started recording, I know you just told me this, but very cool story about your just growing up a little bit for yourself. So you told me that you and your mother only speak Greek to each other still to this day. With your mom coming over from Greece originally to help start your family here in the U.S.
Yes, yes. So she was born and raised in Greece and then came here to the U.S. for college. She always thought she was going to go back, but she ended up staying here, working here, and met my dad, and kind of that started. And she stopped her work when I was two. And so I spent a lot of time with her growing up, and we only spoke at the time Greek, and have always spoken Greek to each other, and we still do. So,
any other languages for you besides those two?
I was pretty good growing up. I learned Russian. Learning Russian, and I got pretty good at French, almost 85%. I took my subject matters, and French. So,
okay,
but just those. But now, definitely only English and Greek.
Your hometown says West Orange, New Jersey. Is that where you spent most of your childhood?
Yeah, I was there till I was 16. Mm-hmm. And then I went to Muskegon in juniors. And I was only a sophomore in high school. Mm-hmm. So my mom ended up coming out with me there. And I ended up going to actual school, which is kind of unheard of now. I went to the public school of the town. And I didn't know anybody. Coming from private school, going to public school was a huge transition.
Yeah.
And no one on the team went to school. So I came in, I had to make friends right away. And it ended up being one of the best things because I met very good friends there. And ended up, my mom loved it there. And ended up, now that's home base for us. Ever since then, kind of spend my summers and Christmases in Muskegon.
Very cool. That's a very cool story. So yeah, you kind of took your junior career and turned it into where you guys are located now. Mm-hmm. For folks who don't know, Alex Gaffney transferred from Harvard to St. Thomas this season, and I want to ask you a little bit about that part of your career with the Crimson there. Obviously, going to school, right, certainly had something to do with you going to Harvard, right? Probably don't get in if you're just a junior player based on that previous education. But what was that, going to Harvard? I've been there a number of times. I used to work in the league, so I'm very familiar with that building and that campus. But what was it like for you getting into Harvard and then making that choice to go play hockey for the Crimson?
So, I mean, my mom, talk about my mom again. She was a Harvard graduate. So, obviously growing up, that was a big influence in me. And obviously, if they didn't have a good team, or they didn't even have hockey, that was completely out of the picture. I've always wanted to play college hockey, and just Harvard meant a lot to me growing up. So I was very fortunate to get accepted and go there. And it's a special school. We always are forever be thankful for my memories in the classroom there, and it's a very cool experience, very unique. But honestly, I see a lot of similarities here. The campuses are very similar, and the famous Harvard Yard, and we've got something similar here. So, I definitely see similarities.
That's kind of cool. The new rink, we'll get into that in a second. But what was the biggest kind of selling point for you? Obviously, were you aware, or had it been determined whether the Tommies could participate in the NCAA tournament by the time you signed, or was that still kind of in the balance?
I was definitely aware. Okay. Honestly, I didn't have many options.
Yeah.
And St. Thomas was by far my best option I had.
Okay.
And no matter if they had a new rink, if they didn't have a new rink, I was going to come here. I'm so grateful. I'm very grateful. And Rico and the coaching staff, they took a chance on me. They didn't have to. I only played 4 games last year. And the player I was my junior year to right now is completely different. So they took a chance on me, and I mean, I was willing to take whatever I had, and I'm very grateful that they did. And I try every day to be the best player I can be and help this team win.
Off to a great start with the Tommies, 11 points in October, got you the forward of the month in the conference. You talk about some of your playing time before. I know you've played in some big games, right? You've played in the NCAA tournament before. I'm sure you'd be excited to help take the Tommies to their first one here.
Definitely.
This year. But what from your experiences do you draw? Are you able to maybe, you know, talk to this team who is still a growing program at the D1 level?
So many experiences, been through so much, ups and downs, and the biggest thing is to compete. I think every day you show up and you put your head down, and it's every day is a privilege to be at the rink. When sometimes that gets taken away from you, you realize how important, how special it is to just be in the locker room with the guys. So first, just understanding how important that is, and then moving on to practice and to compete. And you don't have to have the best team on paper to win. I've had some pretty damn good teams on paper.
Yeah.
At Harvard. But anyone can win in this league, and it's just at the end of the day, it's how bad you want it. So I'm just trying to show these guys that that's the most important thing.
I was there on a Friday. Unfortunately for you guys, you didn't get the win against the Mavericks. But just from seeing that game, seeing you play in person, seeing you play, you know, in your first month in the league, and it's not always the points. It just seems like you have a motor that just is always running. Your feet are always moving. Is that something that you pride yourself on in your kind of gameplay?
Yeah, I think originally definitely. I think, my younger years, my motor was always going. But
yeah.
Now I'm trying to focus more on finding my time, finding my space. Sometimes when you skate too fast, you close down your space. And sometimes you have to slow down to keep the space you have. So I've been trying to pick my times to go, pick my times to stop, and just overall read the game a little better. But definitely when I'm going, I'm going.
Scored a nice goal in Mankato this last weekend here, driving the net. You know, almost went Bobby Orr in front of the goal there. What, you know, is that the type of play you're trying to make? Is that the kind of freedom you're kind of given to make that play in space?
Yes, definitely. I'm very fortunate that the coaching staff has given me freedom, and I try to do the best of most of it. And I knew I just felt I had a step on that guy. And I remember a play in the Friday game that you were at.
Yeah.
I tried going 5-hole. I came around the top and tried to go 5-hole. And I thought to myself, that was an opportunity missed. Uh-huh. Like, obviously, looking back,
yeah.
you always.
yeah, that could have been a goal too, yeah.
Yeah. So I, looking back, I was like, he comes far out. He's a great goal, but he's on the smaller side. So take it far side. So in that moment, just in the back of my mind, I was like, I'm going to take this all the way to the far side and see what happens. And very fortunate that it went in.
You guys got a nice overtime win on Saturday down there. That's a great rivalry. It's a budding rivalry at the D1 level. I know you're going to be a part of it this year. It's been since the Tommies have kind of come into their own over the last couple of years. I think they won 4 games their first year at Division I, all the way to making it to the conference finals last year. Now with the new rank and the opportunity to potentially be hosting and playing and stuff like that, has to be exciting for this group. How have you kind of gotten on with this team and and Lucas Wallen, who's been the captain for now 3 years here. Who have you kind of gotten on with some of the players in this team?
I mean, first off, Lucas is an unbelievable player, an unbelievable captain. And it's no surprise that it's his third year as captain. You really don't ever see that. And it's no coincidence that I don't have enough words to say how thankful I am to be on his line. And whatever small accolades that have gone thus far, he's right there with him. He's helped me tremendously, and if it wasn't for him and a lot of this team, I wouldn't be where I am right now. We have a lot of great guys, and a lot of guys that are willing to work and just root for each other. Whenever your number's called, like, you step up and you go, and you just want the best for your teammates. And I can just feel it. It's going to start. That Saturday win was a huge win for us. And I feel it. The wins are going to start piling in, and we're going to go far this year.
I know you said you were coming to St. Thomas no matter the situation regarding the rink or anything, but how great is it to have that situation? I got a chance to visit it before Friday and got to walk around the locker room. I mean, that's state of the art, right? It doesn't get any better than what you guys have down there at Lee and Penny Anderson Arena. And what's the highlight for you of the new digs?
It's unbelievable. It's by far the best locker room and rink I've ever been in. And that first home game, that atmosphere was unmatched. Like, yeah, we played in North Dakota, and they're known for that. Mm-hmm. But as a home team at a home rink, that was the coolest experience I've ever had. The practice rink, identical to the main sheet, and then even the gym. It's unbelievable. I'm very, very grateful to be playing in that rink.
Just for you, I see you're out there on the power play. You're kind of helping quarterback that. You guys put up, I think, 11 goals at Air Force on that game earlier, middle of the month there. When your power play is clicking, what are you guys doing well?
We're moving it. We're passing it. We're not holding on to it too long. We know where to go when we get it, and obviously we have to shoot it. When we're shooting it, when we're getting shots from the point, when guys are crashing the net, creating opportunities, that's, I think, when we're our best. It's so hard to – not everyone's Ovechkin. They can just rip it from the outside of the dots and score. So a lot of these goals are going to be outmanned chances in front of the net. And once we get it there, and that's when I think our power play is at our best.
You don't play this weekend. This is your first kind of off weekend. You do play on Tuesday at home, so that'll be fun against St. Cloud. But what are you guys looking to take care of? Obviously, practice this week. But, what are some of the things that Coach Blasi and the coaching staff has kind of preached to you guys during this time when you do have the weekend of no games here?
Yeah, so now we have a little bit more time. So we're really honing in down our defensive zone, our offensive zone play, some of our system stuff. Now that we have more time, focusing on systems. But then we're also competing. We don't really have much to save it for yet, especially early in this week. So longer practices, we're competing, we're skating, and that's fun. It's always nice to play some battle drills, 3-on-3 stuff. And we played St. Cloud first game, so we kind of know what to expect. Obviously, they've definitely changed some things, but... That's definitely in the back of our minds and ready to go.
Anyone else in your family play hockey? It's not a big Greek sport. I know that growing up in the half of my family that is Greek. But did you play anything else?
I have two brothers. They played growing up, but they were more lacrosse players. So that was their main thing. They're very good at that. But no. But yes, they did play in high school. So
did you play anything else?
No, I didn't. I didn't. I just hockey. I do a lot of water skiing in the summer.
Okay.
If I wanted to, I could have, like, do the slalom course, like over in Greece.
Oh, really? Go.
I could definitely compete in that, but I think you need a Greek citizenship to do that. And okay. Because of entering the army and all that stuff, if you're a citizen, that's why I haven't had it yet. But no, but
like Giannis.
Exactly.
you and Giannis. Yeah, okay.
But no, it was a lot of hockey growing up.
What part of Greece is your family from?
The northern suburbs of Athens.
Okay.
Close.
Yeah, I was there right before they hosted the Olympics. The most
2004.
It was almost 25 years ago before you were born. But yeah.
It's beautiful. Greece is beautiful.
It's a great.
Yes.
It's great to explore.
And I studied a lot of my major at Harvard was classical civilization. So it's like ancient Greek and Roman history, and then ancient Greek as a language. So I've been all over that.
All right, everybody. Welcome back to the CCHA show. Good to hear from Alex Gaffney, St. Thomas grad student at Forward, the league's Forward of the Month in October, excuse me, led the conference in points with 13. He was, great start for him in the CCHA play after coming over from Harvard. And it'll be interesting to see how the Tommies do. As Ryan mentioned, they are they're off this weekend. They're back in action on Tuesday against St. Cloud State, which is not this coming Tuesday, but the following one. So they're off. We do have four conference games to talk about here. And Ryan, we'll start things off in Mankato with Minnesota State hosting Bowling Green. These are two teams that are off to pretty good starts in conference play. What do you expect from these two? This is also a matchup we've seen in the playoffs at least once since the CCHA reconvened a few years ago.
Yeah, Minnesota State, obviously, they've had a great start to the year, and they're going to be tough to beat. As Matt alluded to, people have been waiting for them to fall off, and they don't seem to be showing any signs of that. So I think they're going to have a difficult week. They're going to be tough to beat this weekend. I don't see it being an easy task for Bowling Green. But last weekend, Bowling Green actually looked pretty good against Bemidji. I know they only came out with 2 points, but I think they're going to put up a good fight against Mankato. You can see it as maybe a postseason rivalry. A little bit between those two. So, I think it's going to be hard fought both nights. I don't think it's going to be a sweep this weekend. I think it's probably the two teams are going to split the weekend.
What do you think about this one, Matt?
I don't like getting into the prediction business generally myself, but listen, you're going to have good, hard physical hockey here throughout the weekend. And, like I've said, Minnesota State is one of those teams that, when you walk through the door, you know what you're walking into, right? And they're not just here, right? I mean, they're the monster that's been looming shadow over everything else in this league for a long time now. So that said, there's been times where they've looked vulnerable. These are moments, not stretches, typically. And BG with another long trip ahead of it. Can the Falcons rise to the occasion? Because a win here, never mind two wins, right? Taking a lion's share of the points, that would be a big salvo for them at the top of the CCHA to say, hey, look, we're for real. And if you can't get over that hurdle, if you can't stop hearing Olay play 100 times, it tends to be a long couple of nights up there.
Moving to Lake Superior State, they head to Bemidji State. Matt, this is a good little rivalry here between these two teams. I know they're coming from different conferences previously, but the Lakers go to Bemidji for a series to try and prove something to themselves after a very successful road trip out of conference last weekend.
Yeah, and William Ulrich's had a tremendous start for Lake Superior State. There's been a number of guys that have really impressed for this squad. Ulrich is one of them. He's been absolutely phenomenal. Picks himself up CCHA Player of the Week award in this past week. You've got Kayla Mangoni, the freshman from the Saginaw Spirit, where he was a Memorial Cup champion out of the OHL. Connor Milburn's a plus seven with 7 points in seven games. Adam Barone transformed his body over the offseason. He's a tremendous puck mover. He's developed into an excellent defenseman as well. So you've got some guys at the top of the order for Lake Superior State right now. And Ulrich has typically, if you look at the line chart, you know, for whatever it's worth, right? It's a it's a sheet of paper at the end of the day, and the coaches don't necessarily go, you know, darn, I think this guy's playing really well, but, you know, I've got him on my fourth line. I really don't know if I can. No, I mean, you know, Ulrich, though, is penciled in as your third or fourth line center some nights. And look at the production that he's giving you. He's just such a great player with such great habits. The kind of guy that any team can go win hockey games with. Smart, competitive, and totally likable. Everybody loves the guy. You know, he's the kind of guy that can help carry your team along with those other guys. Guys like Milburn. Sasha Teleguin's got such tremendous speed. So this is a big litmus test, right? I mean, you know, the Lakers have been great on the road. They've not been quite so great at the friendly confines of Able Arena so far. So can you keep that road form going? If they can, that's another team that's getting right back into that title hunt pretty quickly by taking out one of the other top contenders and signaling its own intentions to go to the top of the league. So this is a very interesting series, I think, between two quality teams that, you know, Perry, like you said, they played each other a lot in recent years in a lot of high stakes series. Not that the guys on the team are necessarily thinking about this, but if you go back even further into the 1960s, 1970s, these two teams played each other basically every year for the NAIA national championships. You know, the Lakers wound up winning two of them, got through the Beavers in one. And there was a three-year stretch where Bemidji State beat Lake Superior State for the NAIA title. So a lot of history between these two teams that a lot of people don't really remember, but they've been playing hockey against each other forever.
Yeah, I'm not sure the players are too concerned with the 1960s and 70s, but no, you're right. No, people who follow the program certainly know, remember, you know, because I know those folks do follow these teams still. That's kind of the greatness of, talk about people who follow college hockey is that history certainly means something to a lot of people. Ryan, what do you think about this Beavers team trying to hold things down at home against the Lakers, who, you know, have run off a few, as Matt mentions, a few good road weekends, whether it's Stonehill, whether it's the exhibition games in Plymouth, or you know, last weekend going out east again?
Well, it's what's great about this conference is that anybody can beat anybody. I mean, we talk a lot about Mankato and how good they've been, but anybody can beat anybody on any given weekend. It's, you know, Rico Blasi always tells me that the hardest thing to do in hockey is to sweep a series. And I think that gets proven every weekend. There's not a whole lot of sweeps in this league. Usually somebody's going to get some points. Sometimes it's 4 out of 6, like it was Bemidji against Bowling Green, but it's hard for a team to get 6 points out of the weekend. So I think it's going to be a tight series. You know, like Matt said, it's a rivalry. It's been going on for decades. I completely forgot about the whole 60s and 70s thing. It's going to be a great weekend. I mean, it's a long trip for the Lakers to make, but I think maybe that might affect them a little bit on Friday just because it's the first game, but I think, you know, it'll work itself out. And I think it's going to go out down to the third period, both games. So, I mean, if you want a prediction, I'll say split. That's what I'll say.
An interesting note on our part over here, James Cartarelli, who's now the road play-by-play voice of Laker hockey over on 99.5 Yes FM locally. He spent the last couple of years out of Evan Bushy's hometown, Thief River Falls, Minnesota, which is, I believe, about an hour and a half away from Bemidji. So he's like, yeah, it's funny. You know, I drive 10, 12 hours, something like that, to get here to the Sioux. And then 2 weeks later, I'm just going right back where I came from. So he's like, maybe I should have left all my stuff there.
Well, you don't need your stuff. Yeah. All right, Ryan, Ferris State hosting Augustana. The Bulldogs looking for their first conference win. of the season here. They've played pretty well. Like we said, they've been in a lot of games. They're a lot like Northern in that sense that they've played some teams tough. They do have that victory, as I mentioned, over Western, but nothing in the conference so far. Last time Augustana went on the road, they only got 1 point at Bemidji, so maybe some redemption here for them. Although, like as we mentioned, they did get that that home sweep in the middle there. What do you think of the Augie going to the Bulldogs?
I've said this twice already, but I wouldn't be surprised to see a split coming out this weekend. I know it's kind of what I do when I can't decide, but it is. Like I said, anybody can beat anybody. I thought Augie was on a good streak for a second, and then they went out to Bemidji and kind of stumbled out there. And I thought, you know, Ferris would get the job done against Lindenwood, and they ended up with two losses, two very close losses, but it was still two losses. So I think it's going to come down to the third period, like the last series we talked about, but we'll see how Josh Kotai does. You know, a lot of what he does affects Augustana. So if he has a good game, you know, it's a good sign for Augustana. So I think he'll be the big deciding factor also this weekend, is if he's on his game, Ferris is going to have a hard time scoring goals. But if they can get to him like Bemidji did, you know, it'll work out to their favor. So we'll see.
Yeah, Kotai, the conference's goalie of the month, his season total is now 175 goals against, 944 save percentage. That's the best in the league among regulars. It's going to be a tough task to try and score on Kotai. I know Ferris has had some trouble scoring in general. So what do you think, Matt?
I mean, it's funny. You can get to him every now and again. You know, that's the kind of thing that, you know, you put that one up on the fridge, don't you? Because it doesn't happen very often. And when you do, you're going to remember it for a while. It's pretty special. He's a monster. You know, he reminds me in some ways of Dryden McKay, where, you know, number one, he's got a team that plays good defense in front of him. But number two, he's also a beast. So you put those two things together and you get a really tough nut to crack here. For Ferris, good luck. I mean, you're doing the rest of the league a favor, huh? I mean, you know, because Augustana, you know, again, they're going to be one of those teams right there at the top of the table when all is said and done. They're a team that's got title hopes. Kotai's in fine form. They're solid. So, you know, good luck, fellas.
All right, the final series we get to, certainly not least, we have a home-and-home between the UP rivals Northern Michigan and Michigan Tech. Friday night is in Houghton, home of the Huskies there, and then they head to the Berry on Saturday. I know every time there's a, you know, in any sport, right, they say throw out the record. Maybe not necessarily this case, although, you know, I think Northern did pick up a win against the Huskies last year. So, you know, this is a Michigan Tech team that's not your, you know, your standard one that plays good defense in front of a goalie and tries to beat you 2-1. This is a team that will try and run and gun a little bit because they have the firepower on offense to do so.
And the Berry is a place to do that because even though it's not the Olympic size sheet anymore, it's still bigger than the NHL size surface. So if you want to get out and run, this is the place where you can go dash. You know, I think anytime two of the UP schools play each other, the pretty standard line from the third one who's being left out is like, can they both lose? I mean, that'd be great. You know, can we just award 0 points for the weekend? But, you know, I expect you're going to have a hot crowd. It's going to be awesome both nights. I mean, that's always appointment viewing in either community, whether you're in Houghton or Marquette. Both travel well to the opposition. Both create pretty intense atmospheres. At the end of the day, though, you know, Michigan Tech is a couple classes above right now. But you get into these cauldrons, right? And things start happening and they start going weird. And, you know, especially with a team like Northern that has to know that it's going to be a pretty heavy underdog here. Sometimes you just kind of play with this devil may care attitude and you're just going to have a go and just see what happens. And, you know, the opposition gets into this environment and suddenly red lights start flashing and you start to lose your head a little bit, right? I mean, we've seen that happen so many times in rivalry games where that composure that you normally play with escapes you. So, you know, for Tech, it's got to be a pretty simple game, right? Do your job, and you're probably the better team in this one. For Northern, get them thinking otherwise. Get them thinking this is, you know, this is a big rivalry. We got to come out and we got to run these guys over. You know, that's how you want that team to approach that game, because then they can open themselves up and you can hit them on the counter and create a really competitive matchup.
Yeah, it was actually 2 years ago I was thinking of. They split the season series completely. I think it was 2-2. Last year, Tech did sweep every game, including at the GLI. Ryan, what do you think about this this rivalry matchup here? Huskies towards the top of the standings. And really, if you're Northern, you got to start picking up some points, right? We talked about them as potentially trying to get out of that ninth spot, get into the playoffs. That's new last year, and it will continue through St. Thomas's time in the league. When there's nine teams, there's only eight playoff spots, and it'd be nice to see Northern, you know, compete to get out of that position and maybe put some more pressure on some of the teams that kind of fall towards the bottom of the league.
I think for Northern, their focus is people don't think we're going to win this weekend. They are the underdog, you know. Tech's playing well. They had a great October. They're coming into November, trying to carry that momentum over. Northern's winless, but it is a rivalry series. When I was up in Marquette covering NMU for 7 years, the guys always got up for this weekend. They like playing Tech. They want to beat Tech. The fans want to beat Tech. You flip it in the same way it was in Houghton. So it's Northern's only true guaranteed sellout every year. So the crowd's going to be into it. The students are going to be into it. The players are going to be into it. I think it's going to be a fun weekend. And Northern's just has to go on with the mindset of, you know, they're a rival. People aren't think we're going to beat them, and we're going to prove them wrong. And we'll see how it goes. You know, I thought they'd get their first win last weekend. They came up a little short. There's a good chance they get it this weekend, just because I know it's against Tech and the guys really want to beat Tech and kind of get that first monkey off their back.
Yeah, this would be the time to do it. I saw it. My alma mater got a win against their rivals for their first win under Eric Lang. That'd be RPI beating Union on last Friday in their brand new rink in Schenectady. Mm-hmm. They did return the favor, of course, and beat RPI at the Houston Fieldhouse on Saturday. So couldn't get the sweep, but good to see a team that I saw play a couple weeks ago in Minnesota State play well against the Mavericks, especially on Saturday of that non-league series, get their first win under Coach Lang. So congratulations over there to the head coach of my alma mater. Guys, anything to plug? That was the slate for the upcoming weekend, just the eight games in the conference, but certainly could see some movement here. Bemidji State, Bowling Green, and Augustana and Michigan Tech are currently in the top four spots in the league. Some battles going on there. Still obviously very tight with just a few games played in the conference. Start with Matt there. What do you think?
You're not going to win the league in October or November, but you might lose it. I mean, you know, you're getting into this time of the season where you might not necessarily see it that way at the moment, but when you look back in 3 months' time, you start circling on the calendar just mentally, and this is human nature, right? Man, let a couple go there, didn't we? That might be the difference between us and the title. This is, you're starting to get into these moments where, again, you're not going to win the title now, right? That's not going to happen. I don't think any team is going to run away.
Clearly, no.
Yeah, no team is going to run away and hide with this thing in the middle of November or, you know, early December. But you can start seeing some teams falling out here. So these are critical games, I think, across the board this weekend. Everybody needs to pick up points now to solidify their positions wherever those might fall when you start getting into the later stages of the season. You do not want to be in a position where you're looking at it going, man, I really wish we'd bankrolled a few earlier on in the year, and now we have to go play catch up in order to try to hit home ice or try to win the league championship.
Ryan, what do you think? There's three teams right now with 0 points through two games. That'd be Ferris State, Lake Superior State, and Northern Michigan. Do you think there will be any teams with 0 points after this weekend?
I'm going to go bold and say no. I think everybody's going to get some points by the end of this weekend. Whether it's 1 point, whether it's 6 points, it really depends on.
All right.
I think you're not going to have any 0 point guys, 0 point teams after this weekend. I think everybody's going
to. All right. That is a bold prediction.
Yeah.
Anything to plug on your end? I know you have your site. I know you do some writing for some other publications as well.
I will, for plug, I am actually going to be calling Nathan Pilling shortly after we're done with here with the podcast. So,
there's the scoop for you.
Yeah. So that's going to be a feature story that's coming out this week. So that's the big main plug. If I get time to do it tonight, I'll try to get it out tomorrow. If not, I'll type it out and it'll be up by Wednesday. But yeah, so that's going to be a fun feature to talk about. And I always make my picks every weekend. So we'll see how it goes. But I'm excited about this feature. It should be pretty fun.
Great. Yeah, Nathan Pilling off to a great start with the Tommies. As we mentioned earlier, they are the lone team not playing this weekend here with the with a full conference weekend. Somebody has to be off, right? You can't do it with nine. All right.
Well, odds and evens.
That'll do it for the CCHA show. For Ryan Stieg and Matt Pocket, I want you to thank you all for listening or watching if you did on Midco Sports Plus. This has been the CCHA show. Happy hockey. We'll see you next week.